Prayed a lot about what to share in my last message, and I got some inspiration from a well-known theologian, David Letterman. His last show was not very long ago, and he had a top 10 list to kind of top all top 10 lists, and so I wanted to do a top 10 list. And so I'm going to share with you this morning the top 10 things that I'll miss about this church. But before, I just want to show you a picture. This was me 2 days before I started being the pastor of this church. If I could tell him what I know now, I don't know. He might run. But it's been an adventure. We've laughed, we've cried, we've been stressed out, we've had perfect peace, we've been overjoyed, we've been angry. But I think that those are all emotions that you experience when you're dealing with people that you love very much. And so, just want you guys to know how deeply we've loved you, how much we'll miss you, and how much I hope that you'll keep in touch and stop by and visit and give us updates on what's going on here. So I want to share the top 10 things I'll miss about this church. Number 10 is the community. This was actually shortly after I started pastoring here. This is the first fall kickoff I got to attend. And it was this early that we realized how strong of a community this church has. I didn't expect as many people to show up to this as did. And just the instant bond that we made with many of you through our time of eating hot dogs and making s'mores and riding on hayrack rides and just being silly. And continually through the years, we've experienced new depths of what it means to be a community with you. Playing, worshiping, always eating. I will certainly miss the deep community. It can't be replicated, but I hope that we find something similar in our new church family. Speaking of eating, number 9 is the meals, the food, the eating. I think you get the idea. I couldn't find very many pictures of meals, and I think that's because my hands were usually busy during meals. But I did find this picture of the youth group serving, which they did quite often. And so if you're not familiar with potluck meals at Bangor Liberty Friends Church, I'm sorry, because they're delicious and wonderful. And we were warned before we got here, and it was true. Number 8 is fun and games. We had so much fun. That's Lauren throwing a raw chicken. We went to new heights with silliness. There was never a boundary in what we would do to have fun with each other. And so I enjoyed all the games, all the bocce ball, the golf, the boating, when you guys came out and met me when I was running 3 marathons, all the things that we did that just built relationships. And if I can impress anything on you, it's to have fun with your new pastor's family, because that really is what builds relationships. If you can laugh together, you will have a bond that lasts a lifetime. And I think that that's why we feel so close to so many of you, is because we've all had a chance to laugh together. And that's one of the ways to be vulnerable, to really be overjoyed in the presence of friends is what creates deep, deep bonds. And so we will certainly miss the fun and games. I'll miss serving others. Always a unique approach to service in this church. I never heard of a need that didn't go unmet. If the need was articulated, it was met. And I thought this picture was so fitting because all the faces are covered. And that's the reality. Most of the people that serve in this church are behind the scenes. They don't want people to know what they're doing. You know, if somebody needs something, they just give, and I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. Don't tell them who it came from. Just make sure the need is met. And so I've been touched to serve alongside many of you, to be served by many of you, and to witness as the pastor. I get to see behind the scenes, and I get to know who's doing the serving, and I'm blessed by that. So 6 is the extended ministries I got to be involved in. This is Glenwood Place, which I got surprised into being able to do this when Betty moved into Glenwood Place many years ago. And she said, we have a service every Sunday and I'd really like my pastor to be part of that. And so for the last several years since Betty's moved in, I've preached the last Sunday at Glenwood Place. We've also started a Bible study at Glenwood Place that meets every other Monday afternoon, and I've been able to do that. You've blessed me to be able to speak at Camp Quaker Heights, at Iowa Yearly Meeting, to serve as a counselor, to speak at other camps in the Kansas area. And I just think it's great to have a church that isn't stingy with their pastor, that says, we get it. He's not here to just serve us. He's here to serve God's kingdom. And so I was blessed to be able to step outside of the Bangor Liberty boundary and continue to serve. And many of you served right alongside, so I appreciate that. I'll miss all the surrogate aunts, uncles, and grandparents. After God and my wife, these are the four most important people in my life. And you guys have done so much to love them, to care for them. We had Joe and Will Macy show up to Grandparents' Day for one of them at school. Cece started calling Brent and Ann Grandma and Grandpa because, well, Lydia did. So many of you have been wonderful aunts and uncles to them, to horseplay with them and goof off with them and do the things that they couldn't do with their uncles because we live so far away. And so I will be forever in your debt for the love that you've given my children. Number four is the staff. I've got to be with Diane from day one. She went from being the church secretary to being my secretary to being my friend. And Diane and I have shared a deep bond through just doing life together. We've shared things with each other that we're struggling with. We've shared victories. She knows things about me that none of the rest of you know, and probably vice versa. And that's a deep, deep relationship that will be cherished for a long time. And then we brought Chris on staff a couple of years ago, and I've known Chris for a long time, but I was blessed to be able to get to know him in a deep way through our time together, and so I'll miss you a lot. Number three, I'll miss growing together. We've had several different groups and gatherings and opportunities to grow in God and to study His Word and to pray together, and this is just two examples. One is ministry and counsel. We've done a lot of things together. And the other, this is our Monday night Bible study that we'll meet again tomorrow. So, Wednesday night deeper stuff, Sunday school stuff. We've tried other different things that maybe weren't as successful as far as their longevity, but all of them had value in my relationship with God and with you guys. And so this is a piece to this church that has to continue. You guys have to be intentional about growing together. And those of you that are kind of on, Mike talked about sitting on the periphery and sitting on the sidelines. If that describes you, get off. Get off the sideline and get intentional. It's one thing to sit here on Sunday morning and talk about how this church is a family, but it's a whole other thing to participate in the family. And I promise you, you're missing out if this is not something that you're doing. And so I want to encourage you as you move forward to participate, to grow with each other, to love each other, to challenge each other. Number two is worshiping. I found that picture and I just thought, man, that is the epitome of worship here. Look at the joy on those faces. So often we come together and we just rest in God's presence, and I think worship has been one of the richest pieces for me at this church. Some time ago, probably 3 years ago, I started standing in the back with Isaac and just kind of observing the Holy Spirit move through this place. And it's just a blessing every time. As you guys kind of just let God take over. You sing and you pray and the kids dance. Sometimes Charlene dances too. But I think this is something that's going to bless the new pastor's family and something that will bless the new people that come in through the work that God does here. And finally, the friends. I didn't have enough room to do justice to the deep, deep relationships that God's blessed us with here, but these are just a few that I was able to find and put up of just the relationships. As a pastor, as a person, as a human being, we can't connect with everybody in the same way. And so it's very obvious that some of my relationships go deeper than others. And that's going to be the case with your next pastor too. So to some of you, I've been the pastor of this church. To others, I've been your pastor. To others, I've been friends. And to a select few that God has blessed us to be able to call family. But no matter what level of relationship I had with you, just know that you've touched my life, that I hope that I've touched yours, and that I know that I'm a better person from having known each and every one of you. And I can't leave without giving you a final word, because I'm a pastor and that's what I do. A couple of weeks ago, you let me preach at the Young Adult Weekender, and the key verse was actually later in Ephesians, but I was really struck by these first three verses. This is what I preached on the very first evening. And Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And then, of course, in his letter to the Colossians, he writes, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." The thing I learned about this passage as I was studying it in Ephesians is, first, a lot of the times when we read Paul's letters, we see that he writes a prisoner for the Lord, and we're just like, yeah, we get it, you were in jail. But as I read one take from a theologian on why he does this, it clicked. Paul's saying that this life that God called him to is worth it. It was worth going to prison over. It's worth dying over. And if it's worth going to prison over and worth dying over, then it's worth giving up a little bit of your comfort. It's worth giving up some of your time. It's worth giving up the things that you would prefer or the things that you like. Because in order for us to be the church, we have to sacrifice. Because our model for the church is Jesus. And more than anything else, Jesus sacrificed. Jesus didn't go about trying to get his way. Jesus didn't go about doing the things that made him comfortable. Jesus sacrificed for the greater good, which is God's kingdom. And so my challenge to you is to sacrifice. To give up some of the things that you want. To give up some of the things that you like. To give up some of the things that you think you even need. Because it's worth it. Because the only thing that keeps a church and not a social club is being on mission. Getting outside of yourself. Doing something here that impacts out there. Because if everything in here only affects in here, we're not a church, we're a club. And the definition of the body of Christ means that everyone has to participate. If one of you chooses to stay on the sidelines, if one of you chooses to go for what you want and what you like over the greater good, then the potency of the mission and the potency of the message is compromised. So, above all else, remember that it's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the risk. It's worth giving up what you like. It's worth giving up your time, your money, your resources. Because it's not about the here and now. It's about eternity. And then he says, "Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And we study that word worthy at camp. And when you think of the word worthy, think of like a scale. Because that's what it means. On one side of the scale is everything that you have because of who Jesus is and everything that he's blessed you with in your life. And on the other side of the scale is you. And to live a life worthy means that that scale balances, that you've offered yourself completely to him, that you've yielded to him, not to earn those things, but because you already have them. Jesus lived and then died and then rose again for our sake. So that's on one side of the scale. If you want to live a life worthy, you put your life on the other side and it balances. Because you did this for me, Jesus, my life is yours. And all that points back to the first line. Paul a prisoner of the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it to give it all up for him. And then he goes on to describe a little bit about what living a life worthy looks like. It's about humility, not pride. Humbling yourselves to God and to one another. If you think you've got the best idea, it's about maybe letting that go, laying that down, letting someone else have an idea. It's about gentleness. Be gentle with one another. Be encouraging. Be supportive. You can disagree, but do it with love. It's about patience. This is a hard one for all of us. But the reality is nothing that's worth anything happens quickly. Nothing that's worth anything happens quickly. Allow God to continue to work in your life and in the life of this church. And when you look back, a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, you can see where God has brought you from. And in the time that it's happening, it seems like, man, this is taking forever. But then pretty soon you look back and you're like, that seemed like just yesterday, and look how far we've come. Bear with one another in love. I got a few chuckles out of this because literally bear with one another means put up with each other. It doesn't mean be best friends with everybody. It doesn't mean eat every meal together, hold hands and sing kumbaya around the fire. It means that some of you are going to rub each other the wrong way. Some of you are going to disagree. Some of you are not going to like things about others, but you're still called to put up with each other, to do life together, and to do it with love. Not verbally, I love you, but with your life, agape love, sacrificial love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is something that we as friends wear as a badge of honor, unity, consensus. And yet, sometimes we get it confused and we think it just means five people want this and one doesn't, so we're good. That's called voting. That's not unity or consensus. Make every effort. Not make some efforts. Not try until you get fed up. Not try until you're frustrated. Not quit when it doesn't go your way. Not complain about it behind somebody's back. Make every effort to seek unity in the Spirit. That means try as hard as you can, and then when you can't try anymore, keep trying. Every effort. Because I'm telling you what, God has done some amazing things in and through this church. And I can't take credit for a single one. It was all Him. And as much as I appreciate and love and cherish the words that you spoke for me, it's not about me. And if it was ever about me, then I did this wrong. It's about God. And the next pastor that you've invited in, if he listens to the Lord and follows in obedience, great things are going to continue to happen here. But that all depends on you also listening to the Lord and following in obedience. Getting on your knees. Getting into the Word. I get some of you have been around for a really long time and you've seen some great successes in this church. But great successes and knowing about them and living through them are not the same as God's leading in His Word. Because God can do different things than He did last time. Remember what happened to Moses? God told him to strike the rock to get water the first time. And then the next time He told him to do something different. But Moses said, no, that didn't work. That's not how it worked the first time. And so he hit the rock again. And what was his punishment? No promised land for Moses. It's not about repeating history. It's not about going through the motions. It's not about what used to work. It's about getting on your knees together in prayer, seeking God's will, and then doing something about it. I want to get on the phone with Matt in 3 months, 6 months, a year, and hear the wonderful things that God is doing, because you guys chose to get on your knees, to seek unity, to do it with humility and gentleness and love, putting up with each other along the way. Saying, that's not what I would want or prefer, but I'm going to humble myself. All for God's glory. And beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. If you love each other the way that God calls us to love one another, unity will happen. Unity will take place. Your will, your desires, your ideas will be replaced with His. And God is not a God of confusion. He will bring you all together, moving forward. So love each other. Let's pray. God, it's been a wild ride. I'm so thankful that you allowed me to take it. Lord, I pray that these words that you've placed on my heart to share don't fall void. It's often said that a man's last words are his most important, and while I'm not dying, I am leaving. And I pray that these carry some weight to those in this church. They take your call seriously to humble themselves, to move forward in unity, to bring glory to your name. That that be the focus, that be the mission, that be the objective, and that anything else that doesn't fit into that is eliminated. Lord, be with each one. Be with Matt and Robin and their children. Continue to move in this place. Continue to grow this church spiritually and in number. Help them have a deep and real impact on the communities around them. And never to forget to give you the credit. May you continue to be their first love. In Jesus' name, amen.